the camera.
Dr. Abigail Tyler.
Okay, where would you like to begin?
I am actress Mila Jovovich, and I will be portraying Dr. Abigail Tyler. This film is a dramatization of events that occurred October 2000. Every scene in this movie is supported by archived footage. Some of what you're about to see is extremely disturbing.
I wake up in the middle of the night almost every night.
There's nothing unusual waking you up.
There's one thing. It was an owl at my window.
An owl?
Size your pig.
A white owl, just looking at me. Had you ever seen it before?
Tommy?
When I was a kid, just staring at me.
I've seen it a lot.
Every night this week.
Today we wrap up the four-part arc of episodes. We first talked about cognitive models and how the mind doesn't seem to be able to differentiate between fiction and reality as well as we think it does. Then we talked about H.P. Lovecraft, who was concerned with summoning aliens through ritual magic in his tales. We talked about fiction becoming reality in that form. Then in the third episode, we talked about H.P. Lovecraft's tale, Color Out of Space, and the film version with Nicolas Cage, and all of the symbolism within that movie. And now the fourth episode, appropriately named The Fourth Kind. This is about the movie where the blurring of cognitive models gets pretty blurry. So let's get into, of course, plot spoilers ahead, of course. The Fourth Kind stars Mia Jovovich from The Fifth Element, if you recall. But in this movie, when they rolled it out, they knew what they were doing right off the bat. Universal rolled out a fake website, fake newspaper articles to support the reality element, including fake journals like the Alaska Psychiatry Journal with fake references to Mia's character, Dr. Abigail Tyler. Now, the residents of Nome, Alaska, and their local news sued Universal because, in reality, people really went missing in that town. And they won $20,000 because of this. This is the blurring of cognitive models at the next level. Okay. Now, when the film opens up, they directly tell you this is real and is based on real footage and all this stuff, and it's up to you to decide.
I am actress Mila Jovovich, and I will be portraying Dr. Abigail Tyler in The Fourth Kind. This film is a dramatization of events that occurred October 1st through the 9th of 2000 in the northern Alaskan town of Nome. To better explain the events of the story, the director has included actual archive footage throughout the film. This footage was acquired from Nome psychologist Dr. Abigail Tyler, who has personally documented over 65 hours of video and audio materials during the time of the incident. To better protect their privacy, we have changed the names and professions of many of the people involved. Every dramatized scene in this movie is supported by either archived audio, video, or as it was related by Dr. Tyler during extensive interviews with the director. In the end, what you believe is yours to decide. Please be advised that some of what you're about to see is extremely disturbing.
Just relax.
Now, this is, you know, it's kind of like Blair Witch Project. Half of the fun is wondering if it's real or not. But I pulled out a very interesting, I was researching this film, and a psychologist named Chris French said the following: "The reason I found this film so disturbing was because experience shows that no matter how obvious a hoax may be to those capable of critical thinking, there will always be many who will accept at face value the film's claim to be based on true events. What I found really worrying was that even though the case histories featured in the film were almost certainly fictional, the accounts would not have looked out of place if they had appeared in my column last month on sleep paralysis. Individuals with disturbed sleep patterns seeing strange creatures, staring at them, and being attacked by unearthly intruders. Now, Dr. Abigail Tyler, the film claims that the names are all aliases except for Dr. Tyler, apparently, because that's the name listed on the fake journal websites. We find out that the fourth kind, encounters of the fourth kind, you know, as opposed to the third kind, is where the aliens take it a step further and they abduct you. It's the scariest kind, of course. And the film starts with the whole based on real events spiel, but it's apparently the pseudo-documentary, sort of like the Ancient Aliens show. It's a little bit of pseudo-history, a little bit of pseudo-archaeology. Not everything is entirely true. Things are warped just a touch, so it's kind of real, but it's kind of not, so you're not really sure. And it's all about confusing these cognitive models in the mind, okay?
They have different categories for these types of things, different levels. An encounter of the first kind, that's when you see a UFO. The second kind is when you see evidence of it. Crop circles, radiation. The third kind is when you make contact. But the fourth kind, there's nothing more frightening than the fourth. You see, that one is when they abduct you. And I think it's all part of the same thing. It's all connected. To Will, the missing people, to everything in Nome.
Now, what's curious is that the clients are recalling, you know, situations and events that happened in their lives to Dr. Abigail Tyler. And a man claims that he wakes up at 3 a.m., a very curious time, of course, it's the inversion, and there's a white owl at his window.
How are you?
All right.
Where have you been sleeping?
It's worse. I wake up in the middle of the night almost every night, and just lie there.
What time does this normally occur?
Around 2:30, 3 in the morning.
And there's nothing unusual waking you up?
No, nothing. It's just there's one thing. There's an owl at my window.
Now, the 3 a.m., of course, being the inverted time of 3 p.m., that's when they claim Christ was crucified at 3 p.m. So, of course, the devil lurks at 3 a.m. You see this in many films like The Conjuring and such. Typical trope, calling upon evil. But Dr. Tyler, she's reading up about this whole thing because she's wondering what's happening in this town of Nome. And she reads a book about Sumerian aliens, which is, of course, Zechariah Sitchin kind of stuff, right? Of the Anunnaki coming to create and enslave a human race to mine gold for their atmosphere. And this shows up throughout the film, this talk about Sumerians creating man, and amongst other themes like that of the owl, the white owl, which apparently is supposed to be what the aliens look like. But of course, we know what the owl stands for. It's Minerva. It's wisdom. It's the goddess of wisdom, Athena. Because the owl, much like our favorite rapper Drake shows us, has some occult importance. It means the initiate is awakened and enlightened in the ways of the Luciferian agenda. And I've got photos. I've got screenshots of all this stuff from the film. Check it out on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Links are always in the show notes for all the socials. And you can see what I'm talking about with these Sumerian alien books and the White Owl and all that stuff. Now, the patients, one of the, you know, in the film, it's shown different patients talking to Dr. Tyler, and one of them goes nuts and starts chanting Zumbambu Eater and all this crazy stuff. And we later find out that it's a dead language they haven't mastered yet. It's Sumerian language, the oldest language in human history, because it always goes back to the cradle of civilization, the Mesopotamian region. This is where Pythagoras was synthesizing the Babylonian stargazer esoteric knowledge with the Egyptian mystery schools and all the pagan concepts that he was synthesizing from various secret societies. Before they were necessarily secret societies, they were just more reserved for initiates that were capable of understanding the secret teachings. Now, there's a conversation held between doctors, and it's curious because they talk about how there have been like 12 million sightings since the 1930s, which of course is a very curious time frame. This is right before Roswell, the portal was opened up from the Babylon workings. And they want to know if they can prove this with genuine science or if this is all just weather balloons.
What the hell was that?
April.
Hmm?
Do you believe in abduction theories?
What do you mean, like kidnappings?
Yeah. No. Not kidnappings, but abduction as in...
You don't mean alien abductions, do you?
You know, I think that might be what we just heard. When you look at the statistics, they're pretty impressive. I mean, Will was kind of into that, and he did a little research. And, you know, there are over 11 million people that have either reported seeing or know someone who has seen UFOs since the 1930s.
The idea of any of this stuff being real is...
Come on, Abel. I mean, when something boasts 11 million witnesses, you know, that would win any court case in the world.
Well, and there are just as many explanations and reasons. Weather balloons, atmospheric effects, optical illusions. In this case, perhaps hypnagogic hallucinations. Listen, we have to deal with hard empirical evidence and facts.
Now, next in the film, we see the all-seeing eye. Classic symbol of the pineal gland, the third eye, the awakened initiate, as Dr. Tyler hears what sounds to be an exorcism. Perhaps her eyes are now open to this new concept. And she just had that conversation previously about whether aliens were real or not, but now it seems that she understands the real truth of further evolved beings in our universe. Now, the connections of exorcisms with alien abductions is something that people like Jacques Vallée have studied. They think there's a mental component with both of these. Carl Jung, I believe, was researching such a thing. And we find out shortly after Dr. Tyler's third eye has been opened, that she has flashbacks of an alien visitation of something coming into her room. And what time was it? Well, you already know. You already know what time. It was 3:33 a.m. Now, the guy, he's talking about these Sumerian ancient alien theories, and we see more of the all-seeing eye clip again, but again, it's always going back to the Sumerian concept.
You can go into any Sumerian exhibit and see what I'm about to tell you. Drawings of rockets that look like Apollo launching into the sky. Etchings and sculptures of men in spacesuits and what looked like oxygen masks. And this artwork was created in the 4th millennium BCE, 4,000 years before Christ walked the earth. Genesis, Noah's Ark, to name a few. Both of these stories existed in Sumer 6,000 years before the Bible was written. Genesis came from the Sumerian epic of creation. Noah's Ark came from the Sumerian deluge. The alien god legend has its basis, its origins in Sumerian history. You can find everything I've described in the museum right now.
So the movie progresses. Scott gets possessed by this Sumerian alien. It's more of a demon. It looks just like an exorcism. And it's saying how there's no need to pray. And it's saying this in a Sumerian language, otherwise I'd play the clip. Again, it's a tie-in with... There's always a spiritual, religious element to this alien thing. And we talked about this... We talked about this in the my Illuminati Bloodline show. Which is also featured in my book you can now get on Amazon or Audible. Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, the book. I've got a sort of transcribed version of the Illuminati Bloodline show, amongst other topics. I'm going to read you from it. To refer back to Tracy Twyman's clock shavings book, we learned of Prince Nicholas de Vere, who claimed to be the head of a family descended from the bloodline of the Holy Grail. He wrote a book about his family history and how it traced back through the Sumerian gods and a superhuman race he called the Dragons. He claimed they ruled the ancient world and are destined to rule again. Nicholas de Vere claimed his dragon bloodline possessed magical powers, which is why they were viewed upon as gods and put into this position of power. So there you have it. They do trace their bloodlines back to this Sumerian culture. The question is, to who? To what? To a reptilian shapeshifter god? To the dragon bloodline? We don't know. We don't know. Dr. Tyler, back in the movie here. And look, I don't have a lot of notes for this movie because there's not a whole lot going on. It's a lot of buildup of spooky psychiatry visits. In fact, I don't know that I'd recommend this movie. It wasn't that great, in my opinion. But the we're almost near the end. The movie's almost over. Can you believe that? I just saved you an hour and a half. So Dr. Tyler goes under hypnosis. We're getting near the end. She recalls how the aliens took her baby under the state of hypnosis. And the alien has some curious words. It says, "I am God." And we find out that it's not an owl this whole time, which it kind of is. It's the wisdom, right? It's an alien, and the alien is the source of wisdom. Now, curious choice of words. "I am," of course, being one of the occult or esoteric ideas. Goes to Blavatsky's aliens of the integrated ascended masters, the aliens that went to and fro to teach mankind how to evolve. But the aliens are the new gods, the new religion. I believe that's where we're headed. Aliens are the new religion. And what's curious is the character's name is Dr. Abel Campos. And it, again, a reference to the Mesopotamian type place with Cain and Abel. Cain slewing Abel. And the movie, it culminates with a phone call reporting, or multiple phone calls reporting UFO sightings, which, again, maybe they were real phone calls. We don't know. They were blurring the lines so hard of fiction and science fiction that we can't really tell. And isn't that the point? That's what I'm getting at over this 4-episode arc. And I've said it before. We need to choose what reality we want to live in, because that's what it's become. We've gone on this journey. We started with the cognitive models. Then we looked at H.P. Lovecraft's work of channeling these entities through the arts. Then we looked at an H.P. Lovecraft tale called Color Out of Space. And now The Fourth Kind, a film that really bends these cognitive models by claiming it's based on real events. And all of these have a certain theme of focusing on the alien intelligence. To evolve man, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. They just want the idea planted in your mind. Doesn't matter if it's real. These magicians, these handlers, Google, YouTube, they dictate and tell our world what's real. they can conceive anything into existence. This is what they believe. Now, curiously enough, Shudder, the network there, the horror Netflix sort of thing, they've got a show called Cursed Films, and the first episode is about The Exorcist, which is very appropriate considering the topic of the fourth kind, which has what appears to be blurring of exorcisms with alien abductions. And we hear about a concept that is just like what we're talking about. They call it the availability heuristic.
I'd want to be very careful that the individual who may be very earnest is not riffing off of something that had its point of origin from a horror movie.
What you notice is a lot of the language sounds very much like late night television. Language like, my name is Legion, or I am Lucifer.
Who are you?
Lucifer.
There's this principle called the availability heuristic. It basically means that the more easily that we can draw an example of something to mind, the more likely we are to think that thing is true and to kind of use it to fill in the blanks. When an exorcist says, I want to speak to the demon, you're going to give that person a demon in the only way you know how, whether you got it from late night television or some dimly remembered experience at the theater. You're going to fill that in with the information that you have.
So there you have it. This is the same concept. We're being spoon-fed the worldviews through entertainment. When we see all these occult films or alien movies or even superhero films, they're doing this, and it's for a reason. What is the reason? I believe that reason is yet to be revealed. I can safely say that the occultists that were into this sort of thing about channeling aliens and entities and demons and all that stuff, ritual magic in the past, a lot of them were concerned about destroying the Christian faith, destroying religion altogether, because they want their religion to be the new religion. And I'm not saying every single occultist out there is into that. I mean, some people do this just for like self-help and betterment, whatever. But when you get down into the weeds of this stuff, when you get into talking to the demons and all that, that's where it leads. It's a true battle of good and evil, if you ask me, taking place in the subconscious. It's a battle for the mind. And I've always been in the camp of, well, you know, you can expose yourself to these arts, you just got to be careful with it. And I stand by that. But it does beg the question of what it does on a subconscious level. Are we opening ourselves up to being manipulated, to being brainwashed into this new society they want to form? Lots of great thoughts. So I hope you enjoyed this four-part episode arc. And again, if you haven't heard all four, you don't have to, but they fit together. First episode was Cognitive Models, then it was H.P. Lovecraft, then it was Color Out of Space, and finally this one, The Fourth Kind. Check them out, and until next time, stay woke.